When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Everybody, this week we keep it PG with Ghoulies 2. Did you expect to see deaths in this movie? Well, we've got some bad news for you. Adam picked Ghoulies up and smashed them. Scott kicked them full force in the face, and I just walked out of the scare house. It's that easy. You literally just can walk out. Welcome to Horror Movie Night as we discuss Ghoulies 2.
You're not wrong. So what is this movie rated?
So I actually watched the R-rated version that came out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, this movie is rated R. For what reason? Why?
Well,
why is it rated R?
Well, hold on a second. Let me stress something. There's an R-rated version that was released theatrically. When it got released on VHS and DVD, they trimmed it down to a PG-13 rating and cut out all the deaths and gore. When it came out about 2 months ago on Blu-ray from Scream Factory, they released the R-rated version again. So my version had like 9 deaths, a dude with his arm ripped off, and a bunch of other shit.
Oh, man, fuck my life.
The version that I watched only had the arm amputation. That was the only thing that they actually kind of showed. Everything else, as soon as the death was about to begin, they cut out. They fucking cut it away.
Yeah, you don't even see the guy get his I'm assuming that he gets eaten ass first. Is that correct? What happens on the toilet?
I believe so, yes. Which was added last second because people bitched that no one got bit in the ass by a ghoulie in the first movie.
Okay, whatever. It's so weird. Like, okay.
Well, to be fair, the cover of the DVD was a ghoulie coming out of a toilet with the tagline, "It'll get you in the end." So
okay. I didn't remember. I don't think I ever realized that was the tagline.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, they left that death so open ended. Like, they left every death open ended because they just cut away before you actually saw how they died. So the question is, did that ghoulie just like straight crawl up that guy's ass?
Oh, it bad Milo'd him in the worst way.
To be fair, that guy fucking deserved it.
I've got like essentially two notes.
Fucking loser. I hate that guy.
This movie is so like to the point. I had such a good time watching it that like my notes literally are just like the ghoulies are now in a carnival and they escape the carnival. Like that's like the extent of my notes right now. So I'm relying a lot on you guys on this one.
I'm trying to find my notes because I have notes for this and two more movies, and I do not know where they are. And I took great notes for this movie because this is like the fifth time I've watched it.
It's got that awesome Wasp song. We can talk about that for a second.
Scream until you like it! first shot, Satan's dead. Which is, I just love it. I mean, I don't think in 1988... they were really still doing those kind of attractions at roving carnivals.
They were called dark rides.
No, that wasn't a ride. That was just a spooky. That was a fun house.
Whatever. I'm calling it a dark ride.
Nice try, but no. Also, like the drunk uncle is actually how I was expecting Adam to show up today onto the show. I'm actually kind of disappointed in you right now, Adam. Like, you should have taken one for the team and just been like pulling booze out of your breast pocket for the entire episode. Like, that guy has, if he's got magic powers, his magic powers are actually to have the smallest bottle of booze that gets him drunk every night. Like, it just refills.
And that drunk uncle.
It is magical because he's drinking that hardcore in the cab of the truck.
There you go.
Yeah, he kind of got drunk. So he's drinking the shit out of it in the cab of the truck, and he just keeps drinking it. Every time it cuts back to him, it's just a full bottle. It's a full bottle of booze.
You know, if you were a drunk magician, warlock, whatever, I feel like that would be the first thing you'd do. You'd be like, what's the most useful thing to me? Oh, a never-ending, like, it's not a fifth. What the hell size is that? It's just like a tiny
flask.
It's like a flask, but like a glass flask that's a flask size that never empties. Also, fuck that guy because he doesn't offer any to his nephew ever.
No, fuck that guy for multiple reasons. One, he's the most annoying character in the fucking movie. He's
Are you
really
kidding?
Good.
That guy's awesome.
I'm wrong. The midget is actually
the most annoying person who has to speak in fucking iambic pentameter all the time.
Yes, yeah, so,
that guy. Okay,
so
we'll
I,
get to that
so
guy.
This is what I hold on a second. So here's the things that I want to throw out there real quick as we're on the topic. A drunk uncle. Famous for not one but two movies, Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Spaced Invaders. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I remembered him from both those movies.
He plays essentially the same character in every single movie that he's in. He's just the drunk or the disappointing old man all of the time. But he did not come with his dog Pooh Bear in this movie, so that was a little upsetting. Two. Whenever I see that particular midget that, for whatever reason...
Bill Fondacaro.
Yeah, all I think of is Sabrina the Teenage Witch, right? Because he was the... he was obsessed with the one aunt.
Roland.
But as I'm watching this movie, I forgot that, like, his backstory is not only that he's training to be an actor, but for that reason alone, his acting choice is... Well, then I am going to speak as if I am on stage at all times, which I think as a kid I probably thought was ridiculous, and then I actually took a theater class in college where that was how my professor spoke the entire class all semester long, and I was like, wow, that is a thing that douchey actors really do.
I like how you say douchey actor like you actually need the adjective.
Not all actors are talking like that, all right? Like, you're not interviewing Brad Pitt about Fight Club, and he's just like, oh, yes, Fight Club.
Oh, my God. I never knew I wanted that so bad in my life.
Nine first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk
about
Fight Club. Nine second rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
And the third rule of Fight Club is you must speak like you're in Shakespeare. Actually, that would be the first rule of Fight Club. Okay, so back to Phil Fondacaro. I checked his IMDb, and it reads like every good bad movie from the 80s. Into the 90s, he was in Evil Bong. Did you meet him when you were in L.A., Matt?
I did not meet him when I was – well, I mean, they were there promoting Evil Bong 5, but
– Fuck. There are five of those?
Yeah. But my former boss appears in Evil Bong 420, so – because
Matt,
of course
which
they
which
did.
Which of the Evil Bong movies should we watch?
The first one is definitely not worth watching. I don't remember if Evil Bong 3 is any good. I just remember that I like that the name of it is The Wrath of Bong. But I never saw Evil Bong 2, and I still haven't watched Evil Bong 420. I purchased it, but I haven't watched it yet.
So you've seen Evil Bong 5?
I haven't seen Evil Bong 5 either. I just saw they were promoting it. I'm not a fan of the Evil Bong franchise, to be totally honest. They don't even make the, like, here's the thing about the Evil Bong movies, at least the first one and the third one, is it is literally just a bong with lips and eyes, but the mouth never moves. It only speaks telepathically to you, and it's basically just Wishmaster. Like, you get high with the Evil Bong, and then you go into some weird, trippy, like you just imagine a thing, and that thing kills you.
So it's like Leprechaun 2.
Yeah, sort of. There is a scene in Evil Bong, the first Evil Bong, where, if I'm remembering the details correctly, someone smokes from the Evil Bong and imagines themselves at a strip club, and the Jack in the Box puppet from Demonic Toys is one of the people at the strip club.
Like, is it a Charles Band film?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a Full Moon picture.
Oh God, yes. Yeah.
Is it Charles Band? Because that sounds like such a Charles Band thing to do.
It might be. I'm pretty sure it was.
All right. So enough about Evil Bong. Let's get back to the good shit here. Back to the very beginning when the cultists are running after the priest who's supposedly from Ghoulies 1. I saw Ghoulies 1 and I don't remember the end.
It's not a good movie. Ghoulies 1 is really boring, and it basically just ends with them driving off. Like, they're driving away, and then like it reveals that there's some ghoulies in the back of their car.
I remember watching Ghoulies 1 when I was like 13, and it was on the Space Channel in Canada, and I hated it.
Ghoulies, according to my parents, is the first movie I ever saw, because when I was a kid, they like went to the video store. They had just bought a VHS or a VCR, and they went to the video store, and like it was, you know, 1985, 1986, so there wasn't a whole lot to choose from. So the only movie that was available was Ghoulies. So as a child, we had a family night together watching Ghoulies.
That's surreal. Your parents made some questionable decisions, I think.
I think continuing to have children after me is a really big one.
Well, I mean, why even try to improve on perfection, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I was like, how do you do better than perfect?
All right, so you can tell that the production budget was pretty low on this flick, because the cultists don't even have ceremonial daggers, just table legs. They're like, oh, we're gonna beat the shit out of you with these table legs. Yeah, nobody's getting stabbed, but the practical effects on these ghoulies is just so good. Like, people always bitch about how people like us don't think that movies look as good today, but seriously, if you're not going to make a practical effect, like if you're going to use CGI instead of a mechanical puppet that is slathered in KY jelly, don't fucking talk to me. All right? I'm just going to like rapid fire through this shit. So the best part about the beginning that really just cements how absurd this film is that they paid some guy, well, they probably paid some guy to make cat sounds for the cat ghoulie, so you were absolutely sure that it was supposed to be a cat ghoulie.
Yeah.
Because each one of them is like, and there's like different inflections and shit. Like, it's like, meh, 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 meh. Like, it's all weird.
And then I was looking at the rest of the ghoulies, and I was like, well, what animals are you supposed to be?
Okay, like, I know there's a bat ghoulie. There's an alligator ghoulie. Or maybe it's an iguana or some shit, but it's some sort of lizard ghoulie. There's is the cat ghoulie the one with the goat feet? I can't remember.
It's got goat feet. It's both a cat and it has goat
feet. Really, that's not breaking my suspension of disbelief here. and then is there a dog one too? There's like a cat and dog one? I don't know. This is the best Gremlins ripoff. We've talked about a good number of Gremlins ripoffs on this show.
I don't know. I feel like it's a tie between this and Critters 2, the main course.
Critters 2 is really good. You're right.
Critters 2 is fun, but I'll tell you right now, this is better than Munchies.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is better than Munchies. It's better than Spookies. It's better
than...
You
take that right fucking back.
I fucking do you right in the gutter.
This is an important question to me. How many Ghoulies films have you guys seen? Have you just seen 1 and 2? Did you go all the way into Ghoulies 3, Ghoulies Go to College?
I have not seen Ghoulies 3. I'm sad.
Ghoulies Go to College featuring Matthew Lillard in his film debut.
Why didn't I pick that? Oh, by the way, everybody, I picked this movie.
Who else is in that? Hold on a second. The Ghoulies talk in that movie. They jump that shark where the Ghoulies just speak.
I want to ask a question. Why are the Ghoulies such douchebags? Why are they so mean to everyone?
Like, they're not so mean in part 3.
The Ghoulies just want to have fun.
Yep. Which is the next Survivor Girls single.
Oh, fuck, I'm writing that down.
Why are they such assholes?
Like, they're demons.
Yeah, they're from hell.
Why are you questioning this?
They're so mean. But they're, like, why?
I think don't be confused by their cuteness, because they are adorable.
They're cute. They're pretty ugly.
I think they're adorable. But that's just me.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt, we're also getting into the place where we realize too many things about you today. Okay. So the redhead that is like talking to the main guy. I actually don't remember anybody's names from this movie. I've seen it so many times. I just can't care to remember anybody's names except for...
Only name that I remember is Sir Nigel.
Nigel, that's the only one I can remember too. So there's this redhead who, the nephew, like the protagonist, walks up to him and is like, hey, can you help fix the truck? And she's like, I'm sure I can turn it on. She makes some sort of shitty, like, sex advance at him. And I'm like, whoa, you need to pump the brakes, baby. Like, you can't screw your way to the top of the big top. It just doesn't work that way. But then we get to the best line that the old guy says. He's like, I'm a magician. I can even make this bottle disappear. And I was like, oh, man, this is Adam in 50 years.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it's Adam in 50 minutes.
Oh, man. Then he busts out another fucking great line. He's like, I've got the DTs. I'm seeing things. And it really just cinches how depressing that character is because... He's so fucked. His life is just shit. He lives with his nephew for no explainable reason. He used to be a great magician, got laughed off the stage, I'm assuming, lives in a bottle, is basically pickling himself. He hates magic. He hates his Satan's Den ride. He hates everything except for alcohol. He plays drunk so well, I'm half convinced he was actually wasted during production. Like, that's just... He's one of the most convincing drunk actors I've ever seen.
He probably just was drunk. I can't imagine I imagined he is actually the method actor in this movie.
Is it really being a method actor if you're just getting wasted, like, and reading your life?
Hey, if that's what the character would do.
Also, this movie was directed by Albert Band, so there is a definite correlation with why I like it. Because it was basically probably paid for by Charles Band.
There's no way both of you guys like this. This is a Charles Band movie, and you guys love it.
Like Charles Band. I've got mixed feelings on the dude.
What is man's obsession with puppets? Why does he fucking...
I don't know. What's
puppets?
My obsession with puppets? They're fun, all right? If you guys like Adventure Time, I can like evil puppets. I'm pretty sure dancing girls haven't been a thing at carnivals since before I was born. So that kind of took me out of the story, but I forgive them. Because it's just schlocky, and it's okay with me.
That was strange, though. Like, and in the background, on the, like, wall behind him, there was naked tits, yeah.
And there's, like, the weirdest assortment of people that are watching the girls, like, dance around like human snakes. There's, like, a really fat, ugly, middle-aged woman. There are children. There are teenagers. There's a lot of dudes who look like they are, you know, not savory people. It's just weird. And also, I assume that the screenwriter was like, how can we endear audiences to the female lead? Let's make her a stripper with a heart of gold. I mean, it worked in Independence Day about, you know, 15 years later.
It's so cliche. It's so stupid.
You know what? And Pretty Woman came out maybe a year later, so I'm thinking that someone watched Ghoulies 2.
And then
was like, you know what? We could make a lot of money on this stripper with a heart of gold concept, but let's just make her a prostitute instead.
Yeah, that was too tame. So then we got the child swearing beginning, where these little brats go into Satan's den, and they're running around, and they've got a fucking the one kid's got a ninja star. I love 1988 when young boys could carry throwing stars in their back pockets just in case. But you know,
gone are the Dennis the Menace days of a slingshot.
Gone are the days when a kid could walk around with the ability to defend himself with fucking throwing stars from a mail order catalog. That just doesn't happen anymore. So we see Sasha Jensen show up. He's in Dazed and Confused. He's the male lead in the teenage male lead in Halloween 4, which is my favorite of the Halloween movies. He's been in a couple other things, but he's not a good actor. He was also he got turned into a vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He's the one who's like, now I'm a god. Like that guy, Ed Sasha Jensen, he's in this.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I love that impression.
it's a great impression.
Shut up, guys. Shut up. So we already touched on how much you love this Wasp song, so I can just pass over that. But we get to the best part of the movie, in my opinion, the rat snot part. So I forgot that there is a rat Ghoulie. When we were trying to figure out how many ghoulies there were, there's a rat one. And he, like, opens his mouth and ejaculates green snot onto those kids. Like, they're like, eh! But they think it's hilarious. Like, I love that.
Well, I like that they, you know, I'll use your wordage, ejaculate the green slime.
It just showed how shitty the puppet was.
Onto the kissing couple. And, like, you know, previously no one wanted to go into Satan's den, and then these two kids come out, and they're like, this thing is the tits, it's the greatest thing I've ever seen, and everyone's like, oh man, now I want to go see this thing, and then this couple comes out, and it's not even like the couple's laughing, it's literally, it's almost like when the best thing I can compare it to is that episode of The Simpsons where the tall guy pulls Nelson's pants down. He's like, hey, it's the kid who laughs at everybody. Let's laugh at him. And the whole crowd's just like, ha, 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 ha.
Do you have a problem with the size of my automobile?
But, like, it's literally just they depicted those kids as the shitty, obnoxious, like, I almost forgot this. I did have a note down that just said, my toots!
Yes! Oh, my God. Yeah, I think I had I had that too. It was stuck between the I passed over for the rat's knot. I bet Christine Brown is very unstoked to watch this movie. Alison Lohman in Drag Me to Hell. She's probably like PTSD, like shaking in a corner because
no. No more snot.
Not again. So the rat's knot reminds me of something that I ate in like 1992. All right. So do you guys remember when TMNT2, The Secret of the Ooze, came out? They made all these, like, Mutant Ninja Turtle ooze foods. And there was, like, this vanilla cream-filled pastry that they had then slathered with, green frosting so they look like a turtle shell. And then when you bit into it, it was full of vanilla cream, but it was like vanilla custard, but it was dyed that green color. It looked just like that rat's knot that they use in this. That's all I can think of whenever I see this movie, because as a kid, I mean, and as an adult, I've always had a sweet tooth, and I remember that I could not, it took me a week to even try and get halfway through that treat, because it was so visually off-putting for like 8-year-old me, and it was just super sweet. It's like just the grossest treat, and it's always stuck with me as like the thing that kind of the worst thing that came out of the second Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah, no, I never ate that. And
but you remember what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy, right?
Well, actually, yeah, I think you might be, because I've never encountered anything like that before.
It was awful.
Disgusting. Yeah. It sounds horrible. It sounds so bad.
Anyway, then we're at the other best part of the movie, the Ghoulies High Five, which just comes out of fucking nowhere.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So let's talk about this high five. I rewind this like 6 times to watch it over and over and over again because it's so fucking funny. It's so fucking funny.
I feel like there has to be a 10-hour version of it on YouTube somewhere. Just like, Ghoulies High Five, Ghoulies High Five, Ghoulies High Five for 10 hours.
All right, so they wrap this guy up like a mummy.
His
stomach's all cut open and they stabbed him in the leg. So they shove him into a sarcophagus and this crowd is watching them while they're doing this. Whole crowd is like watching them.
They don't care at all.
And the little kids start going, rat, rat, rat,
rat,
rat, rat, rat, rat. Right? And then the coolies high five each other. And it zooms in on their high five. It's like,
what? Yeah. It's one of the best. It's so good. It's just like so. It realizes how absurd this film is, and they just want to let you know that they're on the joke too.
Exactly,
I don't know.
Exactly. It honestly does. Like I was like, all right, they know what they're doing. They fucking know.
This is the highlight of the movie. Is the high five? That's fantastic.
And then we actually get to the low part of the movie. I just want to make a little quick note here that the kiss between the male and female protagonist is like the worst kiss. It's like eighth grade level bad kissing. And it's about as steamy as this movie gets. This movie should not be rated R. It should not have even been rated PG-13. It's just like a G-rated film with some ghoulies like causing a little bit of havoc. I mean, even that's the deaths are pretty tame.
That is exactly my fucking issue with it. You don't see any of the deaths. The only gory thing that you see is the clown that gets his arm taken off in the pool, right? But
yeah.
Everything else is off screen. You don't see any of it. It's all implied. And it's like, well, this should be like a PG movie. How is this rated R? Why is it rated R? For fucking what reason?
Who knows? Now, I mean, we got Matt giving his explanation, but so right before right as the ghoulies get out of Satan's den and are about to cause some serious carnage, I'm pretty sure you see a ghoulie's ball sack. Like the ghoulie is like, yeah, like this is the cat one, and it like is crawling under something to go break shit. And I'm pretty sure you get a full screen. And somebody built a ball sack on that ghoulie. I'm not rewatching it to look for it, but that was pretty sure what that I saw happen. But that space travel ride is like, did they fill the base of each one of those with like, did they ballast each one of those with gasoline? Because one of them goes flying off and it just caused the gigantic explosion, and I was like, okay, so the ghoulies do like to kill people. But yeah, again, you don't see anything happen, so whatever. But then there's carnage all around, and the asshole guy who's like taking over the carnival is like, oh, everybody, shit's going down, better go poop. And he's like, he looks in the mirror, he's like, it's not your fault. Like, is that an anxiety poop? I don't know, but I do like that they do another one of those zoom-ins, because obviously they're not going to show a ghoulie eating him from his butthole up to his, like, neck or wherever it came out. But you do see him just – he, like, goes, ah, and overacts the shit out of it, and it just, like goes right into his face. And then and that gets – the whole point of this movie is that – I don't know if it was Ghoulies 1 or 2, but I saw the poster or the VHS box – as a kid, and it scared me so much of sitting on the toilet, like to an absurd level. I don't know.
The way to tell is if the ghoulie was wearing a shirt or not.
I have to say it was probably Ghoulies 2. Pretty sure.
Ghoulies 2 had two ghoulies on it. One coming out of the toilet and one sitting across the top. Ghoulies 1 was just a single ghoulie wearing a shirt popping out of the tub or the toilet. So I just wanted to research Albert Band real quick. It's Charles Band's dad.
Holy crap.
Yeah, he made Robot Jocks 2, The Robot Wars as well.
Oh my god, yeah. Are you for real?
Yeah.
You should probably watch that.
The final fight is just absolutely insane. And
with the Mega Ghoulie.
The Mega Ghoulie, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
I wish...
No, it's so ridiculous. It's so fucking... Oh, it's so stupid. When that happened, I was so confused. I was so lost. I had
why? It makes absolute sense.
No, it doesn't make any fucking sense. What are you talking about?
No, it makes sense not in the movie, but in the production. Like, it's just like there's no way to go beyond how absurd the absurdity of what they've done already. So they just like, oh, guess better. The only way to get rid of these indestructible demons is to have a bigger indestructible demon who then needs dynamite.
And larger size one of them.
Also, why would it want to eat them? I feel like it would have been funnier if it would have seen the one that looks like a mini version of it and been like, oh, and then they would have been bros and they would have just continued break, like, carnage. Like, I don't know. Adam, on a scale of 0 to 10, how upset did watching this movie make you?
Well, this was probably a 2. I was very confused by the end of this movie, and but really like a 2. It's just no munchies. The whole time that I was watching this, I was like, well, at least I'm not watching munchies. Like,
yeah, this is way less annoying than munchies.
Munchies is unfucking bearable.
So I feel like the giant ghoulie, I feel like, is also an element of like all of the Gremlins ripoffs, whereas like the first one's just a straight up Gremlins ripoff, but now we've got to go one higher than Gremlins ever did. So like Critters, they had the giant crit ball. And this one they have like the giant ghoulie, like they're like, all right, take that fucking Gremlins. What are you gonna do? Make a talking gremlin or something? And then like Gremlins 2 and New Match comes out and they're like, yeah, fuck you guys and your giant crit ball and your giant ghoulie. We got a whole bunch of fucking weird ass gremlins.
Are you saying a vegetable gremlin?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so you guys ready to talk about what you watched this week?
Oh, sure.
So when I was in Los Angeles, I was given the task of reviewing a movie, and also I met up with a friend who gave me his documentary. So the movie that I watched and reviewed is a film called Sunchoke. It came out this year. It's all right. It's a really weird, like, psychological horror film, which I'm not really the biggest fan of, but I enjoyed it enough as is. It stars, I'm forgetting her name, but the geeky girl, the super religious girl who lives across the street from the Weirs in Freaks and Geeks.
Winnie.
So it stars Winnie from Freaks and Geeks. She plays a girl who's basically been locked up in her house by her family for years. And it's an unsettling film. It's a sad film. It's very well made, but it's just not the type of movie that I really enjoy watching. I'd rather watch, you know, Ghoulies 2. So it's definitely worth checking out, though, if that's the type of movie that you're into, because it is very well done. And I also watched, my friend Kyle gave me a copy of his documentary, which he was on the St. Mort show maybe 2 years ago promoting. He made a little doc. I think you can watch it on Vimeo. It's maybe 50 minutes long, just called Phantasm, and it's about horror conventions. He traveled to like 9 or 10 different horror conventions, interviewed the people who put the show on, interviewed some of the people who are regulars at the horror conventions to find out, you know, why do they do this stuff? Is it is it actually enjoyable for them, or is it just a way to make money? It's definitely a really cool little examination on being a horror fan. He's got a new doc that he's working on right now that I'm kind of excited to see what happens with. I'm campaigning to have a part in that bad boy.
nice.
That's about cult films and how do cult films remain – like how does a cult film exist in the day and age where you can just go and download any movie that you want? Which I think is kind of a cool premise. So he's working on that right now. He just announced that that's coming out soon. I do not remember the title off the top of my head, but I'll throw a link in the Facebook group when this episode comes out. But yeah, Phantasm's definitely a good time. Sunchoke is a good time if that's the type of movie you're into, but that's all I've got.
I'll hop on with one thing. It's not a full movie, but somebody on our Facebook group suggested we watch that the Freddy Krueger, that short that was like the confession of Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I never watched it. Was it any good? That's an answer enough.
I'm conflicted because as you guys and probably anybody that's listened to more than one episode of this podcast knows, Freddy Krueger is my absolute favorite horror movie villain. And it's – well – and so I have a hard time because really the only Nightmare on Elm Street that I really like is the first one. I like Dream Warriors. I mean, I watch all of them, and they're all fun for different reasons. But the tone of what Freddy was is only correct in the first one, in my opinion, because he was a sex offender.
Yeah,
he
so
would rape and molest and then murder children. And so, that's what made him fucking scary.
So it's funny because one of the co-hosts of Killer POV and Shockwaves always makes the argument, and I can't totally disagree with it, that he firmly believes that if there was never a remake or never a sequel to Nightmare on Elm Street, that we would look at Nightmare on Elm Street the same way we look at like The Shining and The Exorcist as like a legitimately terrifying horror film that like was unique and different. But he's like, then we made like 17 sequels that made us completely change our perspective of Freddy.
But the thing is, I still think that I think of Freddy as Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Freddy. Because the other ones, they didn't scare. I was terrified of Freddy. Like, I had a pathological fear. I would have nightmares about him more than once a week as a child because I knew what he was. And I had seen a picture, one fucking picture of him. And it scared me so much that I was just terrified of the concept of Freddy and that he loved to come after kids. I knew that much. And so when I went to – I've told you guys this before. I only watched Nightmare on Elm Street like when I was 13 or something like that. I took a long time to finally watch it because I was like, you know what? It's probably not going to be as good as what I've built it up in my head to be. And I finally watched it and I was like, oh my God, I love it. I love the visuals of it. I love the story. I think that it's just a fantastic film. And there have been more than one time. There are multiple times I've found people talking about how Wes Craven was originally going to make him a pedophile. And then because of some murders that happened around that time, they were worried that it would get like an NC-17 or an X rating or something like that, or it would just get way too much negative press if they did that. And so they just made it kind of like they toned it down in editing and it's more implied than anything. And that's why people will argue all the time. Like, no, he just loved to kill kids. No, he was a pedophile. Like that's it really is dyed in the wool. Like I will never not believe that. So I don't know if we've ever talked on the show about this, but I know that personally we've talked about it. If the only way that I think that they could have remade the movie with Jackie Earle Haley, is that his name?
Yeah.
Who I think was the only person that could have carried the mantle from Robert Englund.
That remake is garbage, but not because of Jackie Earle Haley.
Exactly. But people, I feel like there are a lot of mediocre people, like people that don't really think critically about films, that just blame him for not making that movie great. But read the fucking script. It's awful. But if they would have made a movie where it was ambiguous whether he was guilty or not, and then it was a witch hunt, and the parents of Elm Street or of Springwood, I guess, killed him. And then his spirit was like, well, fuck you. I'm coming after your kids. That would have been a really good, I mean, I think that it was kind of, it started off that way in the beginning. And then it's like, well, yeah, he was killing kids as a when he was alive. But I feel like if they would have made it the opposite, that would have made it worthwhile to have a remake.
I always argued that I would have liked when they were doing that remake, because I was of the impression as a kid always that, yes, no, he was molesting these kids. He was a pedophile. I always would have liked if that movie took the angle where it was like, no, he was innocent, and these kids just kind of got him murdered for nothing, and it's a revenge story. And I was like, I could be on board for that. But instead, that movie has like 45 minutes of two boring teenagers doing all this research in a library just to tell us what we already fucking know about Freddy Krueger.
Right, it's so stupid.
So, there was a lot of issues with that movie, and Jackie Earl Haley is not one of them. I almost wonder if I'd love to, like, maybe next time I, like, am hanging out with some of my younger cousins who are into horror, I'd love to know if they have horror icons that they've never seen the movie of, but they know everything about, the way that we knew who, like, Michael Myers, Leatherface, Jason, and Freddy Krueger were. Because it was years until I watched any of those movies, but if you showed me a picture of any of those guys, I'd be able to tell you who they were, what film franchise they're a part of, and like what their backstory was.
Yeah, I don't think that it's going to happen though, because like it's like the internet, it's too easy to go watch anything you want. It's not like you even have to have parental supervision to see an R-rated movie anymore. So I think that it's an awesome concept, but I don't think that you're going to get any positive feedback for that.
Yeah. All right. So how about you, Adam? What'd you watch?
All right. So I haven't actually watched anything in a while. It's been mostly just like TV shows and stuff. I finished Preacher. Actually, Preacher. You guys remember me telling you about like how they put that show together for Preacher,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right? You said it started off good, and then you said that it's becoming a struggle to keep watching.
Yeah, it was shit for a while. It actually was really shitty for a while because it didn't explain anything. Like it just really thrust you into the middle of this shit, and you just had to figure it out on your own. But they finished up the season, and the season finale was so fucking good. It was so good. It was fucking amazing. That was actually amazing. Like, it was great. So it won me over, and I'm willing to watch the second season of it. I'm definitely willing to watch that because it was very good. And I'm also been watching Brain Dead. You remember me telling you guys about Brain Dead?
Yeah, you had mentioned that on a previous episode.
Yeah. Did you guys check it out or?
No, not yet.
You weren't really selling it for me, no.
No, it's not the greatest show either. Some stupid shit happened in the last episode that I watched. It was so stupid. It was so fucking stupid. So the whole premise of the show is people are getting taken over by ants, right? Like ants are crawling in their ears and taking their brains over, right?
Yeah.
So the one chick, she gets a bunch of ants in her ears, and they figure out that the only way to get the ants out of her ears is to get fucked, like to have sex.
Oh,
so,
God.
So one of the characters literally fucks the ants right out of her. Like, it's so stupid.
I think that's supposed to be some sort of meta commentary about like entertainment, but it just is real ham-fisted.
Oh, 100%. They are trying to say something, but it's just the worst thing ever.
It's every time that you tell us about this show, it just sounds like a show that you made up.
Like, I know. Does that sound just ridiculous? Like, oh, she gets infected by alien ants, and then she gets them fucked right out. Like,
wait, does she become an alien ant farm?
No, consistently people are like, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay, Annie?
Oh, but she got struck by a smooth criminal.
Movies was also a song by that band.
Oh, I forgot. I watched something else. Oh, man. Oh, Megan just reminded me. So I've had a tiny little bit of free time before bed this last 2 days. And so I was rewatching the first season of The Flash. And William Sadler is in it.
I was wondering when this was going to come back to Kurt Vonnegut in some way. There it is.
And he was like, do you like Speed Force? Cut that joke. That joke fucking sucks.
Do you read Barry Allen? that show is so ludicrous, man. Like, it is out of fucking control. They just do whatever they want on that show. It's so funny.
It's kind of hard to rewatch because, like, I know what's going to happen, and the drama just drags. But it's just really fun. The thing in season two particularly that bugs me, and I know I've mentioned this before, is that they find a metahuman and just kill it. Like,
oh yeah,
they're straight up murderers.
Yeah, the fuck you want.
Every episode is murder. Barry Allen has killed more people than any of the bad guys that he goes after. Who's the hero here? You know, like Weather Wizard's like, man, this guy's a killer. I gotta take him out.
Well, that was Ghoulies 2 from 1988, picked by Scott. Mostly because he loves Wasp so much. We don't always have to pick the movies. You guys can sometimes pick the movies. You know this by now. So go ahead. Shoot us an email at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us what movies you think that we should be watching. And while you're at it, how about you actually send it to us in a nice, detailed email? Give us something that we can read on the website. Or even better, you can call the phone number. The phone line's number I am going to look up in a second because I should have had that prepared. But feel free to leave us.
Okay. While he looks that up, guys, you need to hit us up on Twitter. You need to hit us up on Facebook. You need to definitely follow all that shit.
Because he can hit on us on Tinder.
Yeah, we're all on Tinder. Matt, mostly.
Yep, so you can hit us up on our voicemail at 405-466-7632. And please leave us, you know, a good, detailed voicemail as yourself. about what movies you would like us to talk about. And if we end up picking your movie, we'll play the voicemail on the air.
It's fine. We've been getting a bunch of joke voicemails, and it's hilarious, but
there are no picks in
there. Yeah, there's nothing we can really do with them.
Yeah, I would love some actually sincere voicemails as well.
I listen and I chuckle, and then I quietly drag that over to the voicemail box that I'm not using. You know who you are, like Steve Austin / Sex Ferguson. But yes, shoot us emails, give us phone calls at hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter. Adam is working like a fucking beast over there, keeping us engaged as much as humanly possible. And don't forget to take some time to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud and whatever other way that you listen to our show. It helps us with numbers or something, or so I'm told. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
I did actually like a second song by them. They had a song called These Days, and they did a video where they bombed, they like photobombed the BET Awards.
So I never knew this. Do you know what the name of their first album was?
Nope.
Greatest Hits. That's
I like the concept of them way better than like I listened to that full album at one point or another, and
anthology.
yes. I mean, I like the concept of them, but they could not carry a full album. They were not that great.
They wrote some good songs, at least two, maybe three. So that was about it.
Hey, Matt, I hate to break it to you, but they didn't write Smooth Criminal.
Hey, they did a better version of Smooth Criminal than the original, and I'm standing by that.
Dude, do not. I'm going to tell Megan not to listen to this episode because she will fucking kill you for saying that. Dude, she's sitting next to me. She figured out what you said. She's so fucking mad right now. Dude, she's going to unfriend you over this.
Tell her that it's okay. It's okay. It's okay, Megan.
I'm not. Dude, I want to actually.
You gotta fucking hit.
Like, no.
Are you okay? Are you okay, Meg?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.